Welcome to the ICANN podcast, the podcast of the Indiana Catholic Conference. The Indiana Catholic Conference is the official public policy voice of the Catholic bishops of Indiana.
Welcome back to the ICANN podcast. This is Alexander Mingus, the associate director of the Indiana Catholic Conference. And for those of you who may be wondering about where our executive director is, have no fear. Angela will be back on the podcast with us in a short time, but for now, you get just me. Thanks for all who are tuning in, and I'm going to mention a few issues that we're seeing down at the State House right now. And there's so much that happens right at the beginning of session because so many bills are filed, and there are ideas flying left and right, and we're just trying to keep up with it all in the beginning because everything gets filed within the span of about a week and a half to 2 weeks. And everybody, all at once, is reviewing all the legislation, trying to develop priorities, trying to understand what's going to move and what doesn't. And it's kind of chaotic, but that's part of the fun, too. And so there are two bills that I'm going to mention today. And these are ones that we were active on this past week. And that's Senate Bill 190 and Senate Bill 200. So first I'm going to talk about Senate Bill 190. So this one came to us through our Catholic Charities Disaster Response. And Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis has a disaster response team that covers the entire state. And Catholic Charities in their disaster response are the folks who come, one of the first organizations to arrive on the scene of a disaster in Indiana, and usually one of the last to leave. And the way Catholic Charities operates in those scenarios is as the catch-all for any unmet needs in the process of rebuilding or meeting immediate needs after a disaster, trying to catch all the unmet needs after insurance and after government support. And so what Senate Bill 190 does is it increases available assistance in the State Disaster Relief Fund, the SDRF. And so the State Disaster Relief Fund, funny enough, is funded by sales tax from fireworks around the state. And so fireworks funding disaster relief just kind of seems like a funny thing to me. But that's how they fund it. And they say they have plenty of available funds in the State Disaster Relief Fund to be able to increase how often we use it and how we use it. So the two things that we focused on behalf of Catholic Charities and their disaster response was the area in this bill for individual assistance. So an individual could apply for the State Disaster Relief Fund, and the cap on the amount that they could receive went from $10,000 to $25,000 in this bill. And there's one example that our Catholic Charities disaster relief folks gave me was how the cost of putting on a roof of a three-bedroom, 1,200-square-foot home was at one point $8,000. This was back in, I think it was 2008. Now, that putting on that same roof is $23,000. And so you can see the exponential increase in construction costs. We all hear this. It especially applies to how people rebuild with disaster relief. And then being able to increase that to also keep up with inflation is important. And so we were really supportive of going up to $25,000. And it was made clear to us that that increase would not cause the fund to be depleted. Like the fund can handle that increase as well as the other increases that are in it. And I won't go through all of them. It would take us too long. The other thing that we wanted to highlight is that every time a disaster hits, there's certain thresholds that need to be met for the Small Business Administration and the federal government to declare a disaster. And if SBA declares a disaster, there's additional federal funding, as well as FEMA doing the same thing. There's funding attached to those declarations. What happened prior to this bill, even though it hasn't passed yet, what would happen prior to this bill if it were to pass, is that the Federal Small Business Administration would have to declare an emergency in order for the state disaster relief funds to kick in. And so what legislators are now saying is that the state wants the flexibility to use these funds independent of the Small Business Administration's declaration. And so that is, again, something that we supported and would allow more state level and local flexibility. And finally, I think the reason we are supporting this ultimately is because it takes some pressure off of our Catholic Charities agencies who are meeting these increased demands, construction costs, et cetera, without any, as they increase, without any additional support from anywhere else. And we know our Catholic Charities agencies are not getting a proportional increase in the amount of donations they're receiving, proportionate to the costs of construction, inflation, etc. So anyway, Senate Bill 190, State Disaster Relief Fund, authored by Cindy Carrasco, is one we supported. We testified in committee, and that is available online for you to see our testimony and our support of that bill. It passed unanimously from the committee, and then it is reassigned to the Appropriations Committee. So we were happy to see that move through. The other one I want to briefly mention, and I think we're going to cover this later in a future podcast, because I'm really curious to see how this one moves, is Senate Bill 200. Senate Bill 200 would require the state to have a relationship with nonprofit loan centers for state employees. This is really a response to all of the payday lending or subprime lending conversations we've had over the years. Really, the State Catholic Conference wanting to ensure that Indiana is not continuing to increase interest rates for these small dollar loans that many low to moderately low income Hoosiers would take advantage of in an emergency need for cash. And so what this does is it allows the state, requires the state, to set up this relationship with a nonprofit lender. And these nonprofit lenders around the state are saying, yes, we have the capacity to do this. Then the loan would be offered through the employer, the state. The employer wouldn't take on the risk. The state wouldn't take on the risk. It would be the nonprofit lender. And there's a lot of stipulations on how big the loan can be. It would be $1,000, up to 18% interest on these loans. We see this as an opportunity for someone who has a need of a loan up to $1,000 to not turn to a lender who's going to offer much higher interest. And if the state can play a role in helping ensure that more people in Indiana have access to that, we think that's a good thing. So we lended our support to the bill, and it also passed unanimously out of committee, broad support. We had many lending reform advocates testify in support of it, as well as the Indiana Bankers Association and the Credit Union League. So we were very happy to see all of the support, broad bipartisan support for this measure. And if you haven't tuned into our podcast before or followed much of the ICC's work, you may be wondering why we were involved in lending in the first place. And I just want to take a moment to highlight the richness of the church's tradition, a traditional teaching on the sin of usury, and that economic sins are something that the church has talked about for centuries, going all the way back to the Old Testament, and was very clear in the church fathers and in the writing of saints and especially medieval scholars. And so the way we consider the process of loaning money to somebody else, the way the church has seen it, more as an act of friendship, as something that we give something of ourselves in our relationship with our friends, and we also When we give money to somebody, it's meant not to be, I'm giving this to you so that I can get as much out of you as possible, but rather I'm giving this to you for your benefit. And it benefits me, it really benefits my soul of doing that without expecting anything in return. And so that may sound like an ideal vision. It is certainly an ideal vision, but it's the church's vision that she gives to us that I think is a vision of love, a vision of seeing our economic order also influenced by a Christian vision and not just leaving it to its own devices. So hopefully that's helpful in kind of explaining some of why we get engaged with questions of lending at the State House. So for more of this and for future podcasts, continue to check out our emails as we send them throughout this session. It's going to be a good session, I think, a busy session with things that we're both supporting and opposing, and we could really use your support as we try to bring the church's voice to the Indiana State House. God bless, and we'll see you next week.